Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we've got an interesting cast of characters here today. Joe Haley, of course, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Melinda. I got applause this week.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a new one.
Yeah, it is.
Andy Cohen is on the phone. Hey, Captain Killjoy, what are you doing back in Tuckahoe?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Everything's doing great here in Tuckahoe.
You had a first day of school, I guess. How was your first day of school,
Andy? Opened in New York this morning, so I took my first grader to school this morning.
Wow.
Very fun experience.
And did you take photos?
Oh, yeah, there were photos.
Ah, see, some people in New York take photos.
Oh, he's not really in New York. He's in Westchester.
Ah. And that was Rich Fairfield, our publisher. How are you this morning, Rich?
I'm fine, thank you, Melinda.
We're happy to have you this morning.
Happy to be here.
Nicole Rollander, editor of Stitches Magazine and director of education, is here. And you're going to be telling us all kinds of things, I guess.
Yeah, I got all kinds of things. I'm sitting in Kathy's seat, so those are some big shoes to fill.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you here. Of course, Steve Hawk is managing the tech booth with all kinds of sound effects. And Vinnie Driscoll is going to be answering the phones today. You can call us on any topic. Tell us what's on your mind at 215-953-4979. And Joe, if we put you on the air, what are we going to give you today?
$25 Visa gift card.
All right. Tell us what else is on tap for today's show.
Okay. We have an interview with Phil Immordino. And he is the president of Golf Tournaments of America.
Golf Tournament Association of America.
Thank you. And he's going to tell us all about golf tournaments and how you can help your clients. We have 9 ways to use body language that's going to help you win more business. Also, how do you succeed as a one business or one person business? You need to stay tuned for that. And all our kids are back in school, and there's a few schools throughout the country that are banning breast cancer bracelets, and it sounds kind of harsh, but we're going to find out why that is. Nicole has that story. I have 9 tips to create a great online video. We have some other interesting topics, but first we're going to start with the industry news in 60 seconds with Andy.
All right, thanks, Joe. We begin today with legislative news from the West Coast. The state Senate in California last week voted down a measure that would have banned plastic bags from supermarkets and other retail stores. The surprising vote rejected a law that many in the state felt would help to expand sales of reusable bags, but now plastic bags will continue to be handed out at all retail stores. A new survey from the Direct Marketing Association reports that marketers say profitability is improving at their companies. 52% of respondents said that profitability will improve in the third quarter, while a mere 12% of companies believe their profitability will decrease as 2010 goes on. Further, marketers say they're loosening up the purse strings as they plan for the second half of 2010 and into 2011. And in news that can be good for distributors, ramping up their social networking activity. A new survey from the Nielsen Company reports that internet users spend more of their time on social media sites than on any other online activity. Trumping email and online games, users now say they spend 23% of their time online on social networking sites. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
Hey, Andy, we have more new products, and they just keep coming in. So I guess that suppliers were busy this summer getting some new things out there mid-year.
Very cool.
And on that social media thing, I was going to say that Facebook, there are 500 million users.
Yep.
Most of them hate it. I saw that in the news as well.
And speaking of Facebook, Andy Cohen, you joined the Facebook universe just in the past couple weeks, right?
Why would you go and tell people that?
All right, everybody, friend Andy Cohen immediately. Andy Cohen, C-O-H-E-N.
He
wants friends.
Yes,
wow.
I joined specifically because we launched a Facebook page for the Counselor Best Places to Work program. I joined to take part in that.
And now you're looking for lots and lots of friends. Right.
Thanks a lot for the friend request, Andy.
And Rich, I know that you
I haven't befriended anybody.
Up, just
well,
wait.
You are Captain Killjoy.
Exactly.
Rich, I know you're a big fan of LinkedIn and actually have found a lot of great contacts that way.
Yeah, I have. I do like social media. I just had been to this user experience conference in San Francisco last week, and also just been reading in the journal that Facebook on the top sites is one of the least liked sites, I guess, because it just requires – it takes a lot of time to do Facebook if you really do. I think people, as Andy was saying, they spend like hours. You know?
I don't get that. On my BlackBerry, I have the application where you just get people's status updates, and that just seems so much better to me. It's mm-hmm. more like Twitter.
Yeah.
But just going on the site and navigating through everything.
It also has a lot of annoying features,
right.
Like all those games.
People
Farmville.
Want
you to be their friend. Like – I go on to see
Mafia
people's
Wars.
Pictures and things like that. But then, I don't want to get things that someone found an egg or, you know, whatever.
I know, that's
a little lost sheep on their farm, a little lost black sheep on their farm.
Or send me an 80s toy thing.
Yeah,
like
not
Alf
good.
And...
Anyway, we have Phil Immordino on the lines. Phil's president, as we said, of the Golf Tournament Association of America. Golf is certainly a hot category. Got a lot of golf products in the industry, and
absolutely.
I'm sure distributors would like to know how to sell them. And so, Phil, good morning.
Well, good morning, gang, and thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for calling in. I know Joe's got some questions for you.
All right, so Phil, so our audience gets to know you a bit. What does the Golf Tournament Association of America do, and who are its members?
Well, great question. Most of you probably know that the golf tournament industry is literally huge. We have estimated over 1 million fundraising and corporate golf outings in the United States. And these are annual events with an average of 80 players per event. And we are the association for the industry. Our members include charities, associations, meeting planners, churches, schools, anybody who puts on a golf tournament once a year. And we have a simple mission, and that's simply to serve the golf tournament industry. We do that through education. We do seminars. We do newsletters. We do teleconference calls. We have full-time golf tournament consultants around the country. And our whole mission is to just simply take this industry to a whole new level, professionalize it, and help these nonprofits make more money for their cause.
Okay, what do people who are new to golf tournaments planning need to know to be successful at planning a golf tournament?
Well, that's another great question because, believe it or not, there's over 100 items to remember when producing a golf tournament. But to break it down, to make it simple, the top two and the most important are golfers and sponsors. Obviously, without golfers, we don't have an event. But without sponsors, we don't have any profit. Sponsors are the profit. It's important to for charities to remember that they can't just throw on a nice tournament. They've got to have sponsors to make any money.
And the golf tournaments you attend and see planned, what are the most popular promotional items that are used?
Well, we've done extensive research, and believe it or not, the average amount of money spent per golf tournament is about $2,500 on merchandise. And
that's
I'd love
great.
To give you some insights, some secret new items, but it really boils down, and this is based on research, the basic top five that tournament coordinators like to purchase are golf balls, golf shirts, golf hats, golf gloves, and golf towels. Now, this is not to say that they're not buying other items, but those are clearly the most popular and continue to be today.
Okay. Are there any specific markets that distributors should target for golf tournament sales, like nonprofits or healthcare companies? And what types of companies and organizations are the biggest planners of golf tournaments?
Well, out of this million golf tournaments in this country every year, 90% of them are fundraisers. So obviously you've got a lot of charities, you've got a lot of schools and churches who are planning these fundraising events, civic groups, chambers of commerce, rotary clubs. The corporate outings are mainly planned by corporations and meeting planners. The two big groups that I see that are doing a lot of tournaments are hospitals and construction companies. They tend to want to entertain their customers, yet at the same time raise money for a local cause.
Well, thank you so much, Phil, for calling in today. We appreciate it. We know golf's a big market. And most importantly, Phil, what's your handicap?
Well, my handicap is the weather. Today it's 105 in Phoenix, Arizona, which is obviously where I live. I try to travel, get around the country to do some seminars, but golf is an addiction. So once you get involved, you got to play a lot. But I appreciate you having me on. And we, we get a chance to train individuals to become golf tournament consultants around the country to help them better serve their customers, to help them, take their customers to the next level. So our website is gtaaweb.org, and we'd love to serve anybody involved with golf tournaments.
And your handicap is 3, then.
It wasn't last week, I can assure you.
Well, thank you so much for Phil, and try to stay cold in that Arizona heat. We appreciate
Great.
Having you on the show. We're going to pause right now for a commercial from today's show sponsor, I Promote You, but be sure to listen in all show because we're going to have our fourth word of the week to win some valuable prizes.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
And we're back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Now, guys, this is week four of our big contest.
Yes, I forgot to mention
This is the fourth week, the last 3 weeks, and then today we're going to have a special word of the show that you have to listen very carefully for. And then next week, if you know all four words, you can win what? You can win a Roomba.
A Roomba.
An iPad.
A netbook.
A netbook.
A flip video camera. And a digital camera, which are all good products to have in your office. Even your home office. Everyone
needs
a Roomba.
What about a hug from Joe? Do you get a hug from Joe?
I would love to do that at the ASI show, the next one coming. I'd love to give out free hugs.
Free hugs?
Free hugs. Just see how many hugs I could get in 1 hour.
What about extra special hugs that are only $2 a piece?
I had to talk to my wife about that one.
Rich, I bet you would like to win the Roomba.
I would.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that.
I'd like to win the flip cam.
Unfortunately, I don't think any of us are eligible, but...
Sad but true.
All right. So we all know that body language is important in sales, and Nicole has some tips to win business by using your body. Is that right?
Yeah, using your body. There's a new book out called What Your Body Says. You can check it out at whatyourbodysays.com. And, it's funny because as I was reading this, I was thinking, we do a lot of videos here. And so then watching myself back in the early days of the video, it was...
What did your body say?
It said I didn't know what I was doing and I was very nervous.
Oh.
But it is interesting when you watch yourself back on video or in a mirror and you kind of see how you present yourself to people, even when you listen to yourself. So here are some of the top things not to do. Don't fill the air with if there's a pause, it's good to just let it be a real pause instead of trying to fill it with,
Absolutely.
But Joe and I were talking about this before. It's almost like anything can be interpreted as a negative kind of sign. So it's almost like, what do you end up doing? First thing is, don't put your hands in your pockets because it can show that you're nervous, you're uninterested. You shouldn't be jingling change, although I don't know if you're sitting, you'd be jingling change in your pocket.
I've seen men like play with their keys.
Funny because one of the things in here that I was laughing about saying I shouldn't say is it says don't do the fig leaf pose, which is covering the groin area with your hands. I'm thinking, who would do that? But I suppose if you could put your hands in your pockets, you could do that. But all of these gestures communicate, nervousness, uncertainty, that you're maybe not fully present in the meeting. If you put your hands behind the back, it's kind of you're not getting a good impression.
Hands should be on the table.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because it doesn't say what you should do, but it's
could you fold them in your lap. I mean, like this.
I think the idea is
you're doing the fig leaf pose.
Oh,
yeah, I guess that's what it
I'm
is.
Below the fig leaf. Well, Nicole, like this, you're just gesturing with your hands.
Right,
that
and
seems good.
And yeah, I mean, if
I
you're
guess keep them at your
yeah, side. If you're gesturing that, sort of reinforce what you're saying. Although I don't know what I'm reinforcing by doing this, but
I thought you're supposed to have your hands, above where people can see them.
Yeah, I think the idea is that if you're kind
holding
of covering
like
your
well,
body
now
or...
Now you're kind of looking like you're skeptical because you're
okay,
folding
so they
arms.
Have to be an open
but,
open. Open
but
position.
See, I always hated that one because I just find it very comfortable to sit like this.
Well,
but you are very judgmental, Joe.
Yeah, that look, you look standoffish. Yeah,
very much now.
You're not
although,
supposed to cross your hands in front.
I do
that when I'm cold and then I
see,
remember.
That's
although
nice
it does say that all of these things in meetings with people it's probably fine because they know that you're not, but
we know that Joe's judgmental.
But here's an interesting one though. They say if you
like
put your
angelic
hands in your pockets but your thumbs are exposed near your waistband, that's showing that you're disengaged but you're also asserting yourself and saying I have control over the situation, I don't even care what you think, which
so
I thought,
that's not necessarily good.
No,
right?
But it's kind of interesting how hands in pockets and then your thumbs on your waistband somehow signal all of that.
That's like rancher. Like
yeah,
a rancher.
Right, like here I,
So I'm in control.
Right.
I shoot you.
Right, but eye contact is good, but not direct eye contact, kind of looks between somebody's eyes.
Not creepy eye contact.
Right, like this kind of, unbroken large eyes.
I hate it when people don't make eye contact.
Right.
In a job interview, and they're
just
like...
Yeah, they look at the floor.
I had someone come in for a job interview who literally looked above my head the whole time.
That's
and
unnerving,
it was really
too.
Unnerving.
Then you wonder what they're looking at.
They probably were lying.
You have a pair of American Apparel underwear up on your
that
wall
wasn't
there.
Up there at the time.
Okay.
Interesting. Rich, I know you took a public speaking kind of intensive thing a few years ago, and you had...
This was for public speaking with gestures. I know that you can't necessarily see them on the radio, but... he had something where he talked about don't do the pterodactyl or the dinosaur pose. A lot of people will, when they're speaking, they have very small gestures, even if they're on a large stage.
Right.
So that if you're saying that you have take up space, so put your arms out at arm's length. If you're showing something big or showing something grew like from this big and your hands are about a foot apart to this big and now your hands are about 4 feet apart,
so
as opposed to a gesture where it's very small, like you're on TV. You know, for TV, you have to do small gestures because the screen is small. But stage, you have to do big ones.
I was on a bus tour in London. We went on one of those double-decker buses, and the guy paced back and forth so much giving the tour that it was like unnerving. But I've seen a lot of speakers do that too, where they're like a wolf
fidgeting.
Circling.
Yeah, the fidgeting.
I think that's a no-no as well.
I think so too.
Okay, we have a caller on line two this morning. We have Sharon with a question. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
Hi. What can we do for you today?
Well, I have a customer that I've been working for a number of years to get, and I now have done one job for them. And I spend a lot of time, it seems, going in and meeting with this person, getting samples and bringing them back. And then the only thing they ever buy is something that happens to be on special. And I'm wondering, you know, how can I direct them to, you know, this is a better product for you versus just buying something because it's on promotion. I've been in this business for 19 and a half years, and I've never run across a customer like this.
Do they really, like when they say it's on special, do they know competitive pricing, or they just know it's on special because you told them?
Well, it would be, for instance, recently there was a special on hand sanitizers, and I send out a flyer to my better customers when these specials come out to show them, you know, that the opportunity is there to get this product, which is very popular at, a very great price. And so they'll buy that. But then she, you know, asked me to bring in all sorts of other things for her to look at, ice scrapers with the upcoming fall and stuff like that. And, you know, I feel like I'm almost wasting my time, but I know they're buying stuff, and I'm not quite sure how to crack that.
Oh, so they're buying stuff, these ice scrapers, maybe from someone else? Is that the idea?
Well, and I know money's an issue. It's a credit union, but I don't know how. I'm trying to get them to understand intrinsic value and what I can bring to the table versus just the product.
Well, if they're a credit union, I mean, they obviously have members probably doing different things, like with checking accounts and stuff. And so maybe you can present a program to them, you know, for new people signing on or for them making referrals for other people. Maybe you could have more items that kind of create a larger program for them.
Yeah,
a branding effort.
I would ask a lot of questions, find out what they're trying to accomplish with their promotions and their campaigns, narrow it down to maybe one or two products, and then go in with a good, better, best scenario where the product that they want might be right in the middle. You show them something a little more inferior, I would go in with the bottom one being the one that they want, then show them a little better and a best. And Dana Zezzo, who is with ProTales Inc., says that the majority of the time, people will go with what is right in the middle. So just go with the good, better, best, but try and solve their problems with them. Just don't, you know, get them, say, hey, I want ice scrapers. Well, why do you want the ice scrapers? What are you trying to accomplish with that?
And I would add, I guess, something that both of you said is that it depends on what the purpose is, if it's to acquire a member or if it's a reward or if it's a continuity thing. People have different budgets depending on what the value is. You know, if they're trying to get more people to join the credit union, maybe that is worth an acquisition gift is more expensive than a reward gift. And maybe you probably do know all these things, but I just for our listeners, I think that would be good to know.
Andy, I know that you've dealt with this issue a lot in Counselor Magazine. Did you have any other advice?
Well, I would echo the idea of finding out as much information as possible. You have to be careful with a client like that because, like you said, you know, you feel like you could be wasting some time, and that's probably valuable time you could be spending with other clients. I would try to figure out sort of what segment this customer fits in as far as your customer base is concerned. You know, are they somebody that you actually really want to spend a good amount of time on, or maybe it's just enough that they, contact you every quarter looking for whatever's on special. You know, that might be more profitable to you if you're not wasting your time sending them samples and things like that. They might just be that segmented customer that's part of a base where, you know, they're contacting you in a sense.
Well, Sharon, I hope that gives you some help today. And please stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Thanks so much for calling in.
All right. Thank you very much.
And we're always happy to take your calls at 215-953-4979. We got a Facebook question in, which I'd like to pose to you all. This is from Melanie Avigliano Schultz, and it says, I have a friend who is just starting their own company, and right now he is just a one-man show. How do you make clients think you can handle everything, Or do you make them believe that you have a whole team of people working for you? That's kind of a funny question. Mm-hmm. I actually worked once in the summer in college for a bill collector, and he had three different personalities and three different accents. And he had a southern accent and something else. And people would call, and I'd tell him which person they asked for, and then he would change. And, you know, I don't know if that was a good approach. But it was kind of funny because one of his personalities was the tough guy, and they'd put the tough guy on the phone, and then he could yell at them. And then... Yeah, and it was kind of interesting. Anyway, what do you guys think about this?
I think that that sounds kind of sketchy, your old job.
Yeah, I was a bill collector. I mean,
I don't know. I think that we had a speaker, you know, that had talked about this at one of our prior shows that said that you really, I mean, you shouldn't make it up. You should actually have real partners. I mean, if you need to take on a big job and you're going to need more people, to have a recruiting agency as one of your partners, if you need to borrow money because you have to expand for inventory, you should have a bank as one of your partners and be prepared that if they ask that question, to be able to go and have a meeting with them, bringing your banker, bringing with the head of the recruiting firm, bringing whoever else that you might need as a database expert or whatever. And so you'll look more together because, in fact, you will be more together.
Right.
You are a single person, you know, perhaps, but you've got great partners. And people that then, especially the partners are larger companies, people say, well, if these large companies are partnering with this person, then, you know, I should do business with them too.
I agree. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a one-man show or a one-woman show, you know, if you have the right partners. Has anyone seen the TV show Pawn Stars?
Yes, I love that show.
Well, the thing I find interesting about that, when they bring something into the seller pawn, if the owner of the shop knows nothing about it, there are people he goes to for currency and for old arms and for movies and for toys and stuff so he can get a better feel. So it's the same thing. He's got a partner. He might not know everything that he needs to know about old currency. However, he does know how to pawn it and buy it and stuff, and he's got the right partner. So,
yeah. Well, Andy, I know that you're doing a segment. You're scheduled to do a segment on today's show on how to succeed as a one-person business. Do you have some additional tips around that area?
Yeah, we're doing it. We're actually doing a story in our upcoming issue of Counselor on how to succeed as a one-person business, as we know that there are a lot of readers and listeners out there that are, you know, solopreneurs, so to speak. So I would agree with what you guys said. You also, one of the points that I was going to make later on in the show is the idea of outsourcing your weaknesses. You know, if you don't want to spend time on administrative tasks, or you feel like that's not the best use of your time, you could even go to like virtual assistants. They're not terribly expensive. They go for about $10 an hour. You can look them up online. There's, you know, online virtual assistant services that can be very effective for one person shops. And that's maybe something that this person wants to look into. I would agree. You don't want to fake it. You know, the last thing you want to do is get caught in some sort of crazy lie where you were, you know, you said you had five people working for you when you don't. So get good partners and you know, outsource things that you don't have time to spend on.
All right. Thank you very much, Andy. We have another caller, I think, who had some tips for the previous caller on line three, Laura. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. I had a quick question on how to crack banks and credit unions. The big question of when you're calling on them, and the first question out of the banks and the credit unions is, do you have an account with us? And is there any other way to sell a credit union without having accounts there?
Good question.
You know, it's funny. When one of the publishers I used to work with, he would call on fragrance people and also on, you know, apparel. Mm-hmm. And he had about 25 different fragrances in his closet where just before he was going over to see whoever it was at Calvin Klein, he put on Calvin Klein's latest fragrance and put on the fragrance so that he was wearing the fragrance or wearing the clothes. You know, we went there. I think that people do like to see that you're using their product. So I don't know that it's impossible, but if it's possible to open up lots of bank accounts, which it is, it seems like you could easily have a bank account in every bank that you want to call on. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a large account, but you can truthfully say that, yes, I have an account. If calling on a car company, people would make sure they rented the car. If you went to see a domestic car company, you didn't arrive in a Toyota. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, I think that people expect that.
You know, I would also say that that you could probably get some good information
on prospects if you become a customer of theirs. So,
like
Rich said, you know, just open a bank account. You don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be your primary account, but you'll get insight into how they do business, and that'll help you craft marketing plans for them.
You'll see the statements. You'll see weaknesses. I mean, you know, I have a couple of different bank accounts, and I'm saying that some banks, I mean, you look at the statements, and you're amazed that they send them out like that because they look so messed up.
That's a great point, Andy. Laura, I hope that gives you a little bit of help this morning. And please stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Wonderful. Thank you for your help.
Thanks for calling in. All right. So everybody's looking to get more business from their clients. Joe's got some tips this morning on how to do that.
Okay. This is from Inc. Magazine, and they discovered that it takes 5 to 10% more expense to get new clients, and repeat clients on average spend 67% more than a new client does. So it's a smart thing, you know, try and get more business. So they have 10 ways here, and I'm just going to give you a few of them. The first one is to upsell. Go for the no-brainer upsell. So in other words, if you're providing logoed polo shirts for them, do they want them boxed? Do they want them packaged? Think of those things that you can add in addition. If it's an say a softball tournament you're providing t-shirts for, do they need special caps for that as well? So think of the upsell. Another one is offer complimentary products or services. Now, we just had Mr. Imordino on, and he works with golf tournament planning. You can actually help out with that. Help your clients with an open house. They might have an open house where they're bringing their customers in. Offer to, you know, serve beverages there, or to, you know, help them out however they need to do it. If they're giving out gift bags, go and help them pack the gift bags and give the gift bags out. You can help at a golf tournament or any other type of event that your clients do it. Do it for free. You know, just say, you know, if you need help with this event, I'll be there to help you out. Another one is stay in touch, and this is a real easy one, and I don't know if everyone does that, but it's easy to send a handwritten note or card to someone on their birthday. So get to know your clients. When are their birthdays? When are their anniversaries? And just send them a card that says happy anniversary, happy birthday. It's
May 28th.
May 28th.
My birthday.
Your birthday. Yeah. And your anniversary?
August 17th. Just had it.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Let's see if I know that.
I don't remember
that.
Getting a card from any of you in the room. But
well, you're not our client.
Yes, but I'm a...
We're on vacation colleague. At the time.
Yes,
I'm a colleague.
So anyway, it's a no pressure way to just be communicating with your clients. So one more I'll give you is remind customers of everything you offer. Okay, they might not know that you can offer packaging, or that you can do fulfillment for them, or that you have an art staff there who will design logos for T-shirts or whatever you need. So remind them of that. All these other things you offer, because they might be outsourcing their art creative for logos and stuff when they can do it with you. So make sure that they know all the things you do. And there's a few more on here, but we'll post this to our website so you can see them all.
Great tips. Thanks, Joe. So go to asicentral.com/radio for more tips on getting business from current clients. Okay, Nicole, this is a peculiar. So breast cancer, great cause, right?
Yeah.
But some schools are banning products. What's that all about?
Well, let me ask you a question. If one of your daughters wanted to wear a Silly Bands bracelet to school that says I love boobies on it, how would you feel about that?
I see the problem.
Well, yeah, here's what it is. There's this Carlsbad, California-based nonprofit. It's called Keep a Breast Foundation. And so they have these silly bands they sell for about $4, and they say, I love boobies on them. Mm-hmm. And so schools are starting to ban them, and the latest was in South Dakota. But California, Colorado, Idaho, Florida, they're all banning them because they're saying that they don't have a problem with breast cancer awareness, but it's sort of the sexually suggestive language that's on the bracelet because it's banned in the school dress code. And people are obviously protesting them. The story in USA Today talks about a woman whose grandmother and like five of her sisters had breast cancer. And so she doesn't have a problem with her daughters wearing this. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? I'm not against it, but I can see the school's issue with it.
I totally see why they can't allow it.
I mean, they have this picture of this girl wearing this Save the Tata shirt and then the I Love Boobies bracelet. And I suppose taken in context at a rally or something, it would be
right,
fine,
but you see a bunch of boys giggling around school with boobies and, you know, causing a little commotion. And Joe's shaking his head.
Absolutely.
And I usually don't come out on the prudish side, but I can understand in a school where that would be disruptive, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think that there are plenty of breast cancer products that are, you know, don't have words like boobies in them that would right. be appropriate that kids could wear to school.
I think that all these organizations have the right idea in mind to raise funds, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. breast cancer research and stuff, but they have adult-themed
right.
promotions, and right. kids are picking up yeah. on it. And I think it's inappropriate for kids, while I do commend the efforts, and I see nothing wrong with adults walking around with
adult right, especially at a rally on. Or, sure. you know.
Yeah, and my daughters have pink Avon, right. you know, ribbon bracelets that they wear to yeah. school, and I think that's great.
It's just funny. A couple of years ago, I got a bracelet. You know, it had a heart and it had the little ribbon. It was very classy and stuff. And so to go from that to these like plastic bracelets.
Say, well, it does raise awareness. I mean, right. I think I think, you know, it's not age appropriate. Perhaps,
right. Absolutely not.
Right.
All right. It's time for the word of the week. This is the last all important word for our big contest. And the word is darling. As I look at Joe Haley.
Oh,
darling. D-A-R-L-I-N-G. That's the fourth
special.
Word.
He's giggling.
Now, if you've missed previous words, all you have to do is go back and listen to our previous three shows. There's a secret word in all of them, and we'll be giving out the big prize next week.
Next week.
For how does it work, Joe?
Well, this is how it's going to work. Melinda's going to say, okay, we'll take the fourth caller with the correct word for week number three. She might gotcha. Do them in order. She might do them out of order. And you need to just call up and say week number three's word was, and you give us that word. And if you're right, you're the fourth caller, you win that prize. If you give us week number one's words, it's wah, 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 wah.
All
and,
right.
So you miss out. But there's some absolutely great prizes here, and all you have to do is listen to win.
So, all right. So today's word is darling. Go back and hear the other shows if you haven't. Get all four words, and sure to listen next week when you're going to win all kinds of great prizes.
Cool.
And a hug from Joe.
And a hug from Joe. And speaking of Joe, we have just enough time for your big rant.
Oh, good. God.
Right.
Oh, my God.
If anyone's been listening the last 2 weeks, they know I'm at war in my neighborhood with the squirrels. Well, I just have to tell you that I have raised the white flag. I have an unconditional surrender. They have
won
the war.
I've never seen you surrender to anything
before, they just have got me. I've taken the trap, and I've put it away. So go ahead, have the rest of my tomatoes.
Squirrels are running amok in your
They are running amok in my backyard. They're taking all my tomatoes, even when I picked a nice red juicy one the other day. Steve. And there it was, had a nice big chomp out of it from one of the local squirrels. So you bested me this year, but
wow.
I'm out to
so
get you next year.
All the squirrels in Abington are raising the victory flag
they
right
are.
Now.
They are. They do. And they take these tomatoes and they half eat them and they leave them right
At
on the railing
leave
of my
you
deck.
Part of it. Then you can, you know, enjoy the rest.
I know, because they're not dirty little varmints. Varmints.
All right. Varmint. Well. There you have it, Joe Haley's rant. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for today's show sponsor. I promote you. Be sure to tune in same time next week. We're going to give away lots of valuable prizes. Have a great week.